And I also want to continue to encourage, amen, you guys are doing an awesome job with our fellowship, the men's fellowship, the sisters' fellowship, amen. I hear y'all had an awesome time. Ladies, amen. Amen. Gentlemen, we had a great time, amen. Continue, amen, that fellowship, the prayer lines, amen. Continue to call in and be supportive and encourage one another, amen. That's what it's about. It's about building each other up, about equipping each other up, amen, and encouraging us to do greater works for the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to talk a little today, amen, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, about our faith and about our commitment, amen, to the things of God. When you think of the word commitment, this might be a little interactive. I'm going to do little things a little different, amen. When you think of commitment, what do you think of when that word commitment, anybody, what does commitment mean? Honesty? Give me some more interaction. What? Loyalty? Commitment. Help me out. Steadfast? Commitment. Promise? What are some other things come to mind? Commitment. Unmovable. Give me a few more. Dedication. Give me a few more. Uncompromising. Need some more. Okay, everybody's going to have a chance. Everybody's trying to answer. Amen. Everybody, amen. Amen. Give me a couple more. Unconditional. I like that. Determined. Being determined. Amen. Amen. That's what God wants from us, is a commitment. Everything today in our world, on the world society's world stage, amen, there is a lack of commitment, amen, especially for the things of God, amen. We commit to so many other things, but when it gets back to for the kingdom, where is our commitment? Where is our unfailing dedication and trust and obedience for the things of God? Amen. We say that we love God. We say that Jesus is Lord, amen, but do we really treat him as such? Do we really see him as Lord, amen? Oh, we're saved, but is he Lord of your life? When you say he is Lord, in other words, your whole being, everything that you are, everything that you possess, everything, it belongs to him. He is the Lord of our life, amen? And he wants us, amen, to surrender to him. And I think a little bit about Abraham, amen, and he's a father of faith, amen. As you know, Abram was born in Ur of the Chaldeans, amen, and he and his family, they moved to Haran and eventually to the land of Canaan, and that's where I want to pick up in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now, if we can imagine today, imagine yourself being Abraham and Sarai, and imagine that God is instructing you, and he says, now, everything, whether it's Fort Lauderdale, whether it's Pennsylvania, whether it's Delaware, and you're comfortable, you have a job, and everybody's around you, and God says, I want you to move to Chicago. I want you to go to Israel. I want you to go to Ethiopia. How would you respond to that? Many of us would say, and I must confess, I said, Lord, is that you? Lord, are you speaking to me? I mean, first of all, but listen here. The Lord told him, he said, get thee out of thy country, your normal, your place that you grew up, the place that you're familiar with, all the people that you know, everybody, all the kinship, all the kindred, the family, and I want you to go to a place. I haven't even told you yet where I'm sending you, but I'm going to send you to a place. But are you going to be obedient, amen, to my command? And he most certainly was. And it says here, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sometimes, amen, when God is about to do a work in your life, God sometimes he brings about a shift or a change. Amen. For what God is about to do, sometimes we don't understand the mind of God. We don't understand why God is ordering our steps, and we don't always see the end from the beginning or vice versa. But we've got to trust God, because if God is speaking and God has given you instruction, he has something so awesome, so beautiful, so mighty that's planned for you, amen, that we can't even begin to imagine what God is doing. So the best thing that we can do is simply say, yes, Lord. I will walk in obedience. I will respond in obedience. I will be committed to whatever it is that you called me to do. Whether I understand it or not, God, I trust you. Many of us will try to analyze it and psychoanalyze it, and that's God made us with, you know, minds like that, amen? But when it gets down to faith, you know what it says? Lord, I'm going to trust you, even though it doesn't compute, even though it might not seem rational, even though people may say you're crazy, even though people may say you're strange, even though people say it's illogical, but you know what? I choose to believe God, that if God has spoken in your life, and that you know that God has given you instruction, and you know that God has spoken to you through his word, through his spirit, amen, you can stand on whatever it is that God has told you to do, that it shall come to pass. As long as you walk in obedience, and as long as you're walking according to his word, his will for your life, then guess what? God is going to make a way. God is going to open the door. God is going to make provision. God is going to give you the opportunity. God is going to give you everything that you need, despite how it looks. Who am I talking to this morning? This message is for somebody this morning. Hallelujah. And sometimes, amen, you think about where God told Abram to get away from. He had to get away from his comfort zone. Now, I might not be talking about a literal location of city or country, but God may be speaking to your heart or mind about a situation, a circumstance, or a group of alliances. And God may say, what I'm trying to do in your life, I'm trying to position you, I'm trying to get you in a place, amen, where you can flow in my blessings, where you can flow in everything that I have for you, but you got to be obedient. When I say jump, you don't question me, you jump. Amen. Amen. You think about in his case, Abram came from the land of the Chaldeans. They worship all sorts of other gods, and there were all sorts of crazy things going on. First of all, God says, I got to get you away from this craziness. I know your family's there. I know your nieces are there. Most of your family is there. Amen. But I got to get you away from the majority of these folks, because I don't want them interfering or hindering with what I'm trying to do. I want my voice to be the only voice in your ear. And sometimes God is speaking to us, but we got too many other voices. Amen. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Amen. It's good to have advice and counsel for others. But there are times when you've got to get on your face and you say, God, I've got to hear from you. God, I need to know, God, what do you have me to do? Where do you want me to go? God, I need wisdom. I need direction. I need counsel. And God, I can't afford to miss it. Amen. People even may mean well, but God, it's to a place, God, where I know that I've got to have an encounter with you. That when I get up and wherever I go, amen, that I can with confidence and not be doubtful or weary or worried that I do the right thing, that I miss God. Is God leading you? God, I need to know, God, is this what you have for me in this season and in this time of my life? Amen. So sometimes God puts us in a situation where he begins to bring us closer to him. And not to demonize people and family and friends or anything like that, but sometimes there's a season where God is trying to take you to another level. Where God is trying to take you and grow you and mature you. And God is trying to reveal himself to you in a more intimate way. And God is saying, for me to do that, sometimes I've got to pull you away from your comfort zone. I've got to pull you away from those people that normally are speaking in your ear. And I need you to depend wholly and solely upon me. I need to know that you hear me, that you hear my voice clearly and distinctly, that you won't get confused, that you know that I am God. And that when I give you instruction, you can know that it is I. Number one, because you are developing and you have a relationship with me. You spent time with me. You commune with me. That's how we develop, amen, as we grow in God, amen, as we learn to hear the voice of God, amen, it comes through spending time. Spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, spending time in fellowship, spending time in consecration, that you get to hear his voice. And the longer you spend hearing his voice, when an enemy comes in or something that's not God, amen, you'll recognize it because you've been with the genuine so long that they might even be saying the right thing, but you can hear the spirit behind it and you say, you know what, it's not right, something's not there, amen, because you know the heart of God. You understand what is the spirit of God. As I often say, amen, there are many spirits that are speaking, amen, there are many voices that are being projected, amen, but you know what, we need to know who is the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, because demons, amen, will try to speak. But you got to know the voice of God. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, lying spirits. And guess what? These type of entities or spirits, amen, they play upon the soulish aspect of man. They want to give you what you want to hear. They want to appeal to your flesh. They want to stroke your ego. They want to pamper you. So you got to know, amen, that the voice of God is speaking to you. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit, amen, as I often say, we have to know the difference between, amen, Holy Ghost conviction and satanic condemnation. Amen. Holy Ghost conviction, amen, one thing about the Holy Spirit is he is the Spirit of truth. Amen. He will not lie. Now, you may not like or you may not be comfortable with everything that he says, but he's going to speak the truth. Amen. If you're saying, Lord, examine me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord, if there's anything in me that's not like you, Lord, purge me. You know, we pray all those prayers. Amen. But when he begins to do it, don't get upset. When he begins to show you, listen, your attitude is out of line. You're walking around with a spirit of envy and a spirit of jealousy. You're walking around with a spirit of lust and pride. And the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us, begins to reveal, amen. We've got to say, Lord, thank you for the correction. Yeah, yeah. That you love me enough, amen, that when I was in error, that you corrected me. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we want to get stroked, amen. But listen, I need to know the truth, amen, because I don't want to miss heaven. Amen? I don't want to be delusional in my false sense of pride, thinking that I'm right when I'm wrong. All because I'm stuck on an ego or a title or a position, or because I want to be liked by people. Amen. I want to be everything, and you should want to be everything that God has called you to be. And with that, there is growth that happens. God wants to take us to new levels. Amen. Thank God for where you are, but this time next year, there should be some maturity in your life. You should not be the person you were 5 years ago in Christ. If you are on a steady diet of wholesome spiritual food and you're eating from good places, from the right tables, you can't help but increase. Just as with the natural, if you take a child and you feed that child balanced meals and you give them the proper diets and exercise, you're going to look around in 6 months and say, boy, you growing. Man, where those muscles come from? Man, look, you're growing up, you're getting taller. Why? Because naturally, physically, amen, they're growing, they're getting the rest, they're getting the nutrients, and their bodies are developing. Likewise, spiritually, amen, we need to stay on a diet of healthy, a spiritual food. What did Job say? Job said, thy word, O Lord, is more important than my necessary food. Of course, we know we have to eat, but what he was making a contrast to, Lord, all of these other things will pass away. But only your word, oh God, shall endure forever. God, we are eternal creatures. We are trichotomy beings. We are tripartite beings. We are spirit. We have souls, amen, and we have these physical bodies, amen. Our spirit man lives forever. So we've got to build that spirit man up We've got to stay in fellowship, stay in word, stay committed, stay rooted and grounded in the things of God. Because that's one of the things that the enemy wants to do. He wants to get us off track, get us out of a proper diet. Next thing you know, physically, let's think about this. If you don't get the proper nutrients on, you wonder why your hair is falling out. Your nails are reflective of the lack of nutrition. There are a whole lot of things that the physical body will begin to suffer if you don't give it its proper amount of natural nutrients, enough water, certain vitamins. If you don't take care of your body, it will perish. Likewise, if we don't feed our spiritual man, how do you expect to grow? How do you expect to mature? You want to be used by God? You have a calling on your life? You want to avail yourself to God? Well, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you in a sense of you being connected and committed and rooted in God and staying in his presence. Amen. And guess what? God will exalt you. Listen to this. Getting back to the text here, it says, listen, he says to him as he sent him out, he says, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. He's saying, as a result of your obedience, as a result of you doing what I've told you to do, something's going to happen. He says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And not only that, not only this is for yourself, but it says, and thou shalt be a blessing. Not only are you going to be blessed, Abram, and not only am I going to bless you and your seed, but I'm going to bless you to bless others. I'm going to bless you, amen, to increase and help others. And isn't that what it's all about? That we are blessed not to keep it to ourselves, but we are blessed to help one another. Whatever it is, whether it's encouragement, if I have something and I can help you and you need it, I should want to help my brothers and my sisters. If I have extra food and I know that you're not eating tonight and I can give your family, listen, I should want to do this because I'm connected to you. And guess what? And because of the blessings of God, how can I keep this all to myself? And we short circuit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We short circuit our blessings because we don't understand some of these principles. We wonder why things are cut off from us. It's because we don't rightly appreciate and appropriate the blessings that God gives to us. Listen, it's not just about you. See, a lot of times we think it's just about me, man. It's just about me, you know, neon lights. You know, my name plaster, you know, no, it's not just about you. It's about all of us. We're all interconnected. We're all interdependent. We're all hooked up together. Whether you like me or not, I'm connected to you. Amen. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, amen, then you are my brother and you are my sister. Amen. And we are a family. And guess what? And sometimes, amen, even families have disagreements. As natural, so do spirituals. But guess what? Family sticks together. Amen. Amen. We work it out. Amen. Amen. We come to understanding. Amen. Amen. So likewise, we are called, amen, to be a blessing to one another. So he says, listen, not only am I going to bless you, but then you're going to be a blessing. And listen to this. And verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. Those who will bless you, Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless them. You know what the way, amen, how to help. That's why the word lets us to bless them who persecute you. Love them no matter what. Amen. Because guess what? God is going to take care of you because your heart and in your motives are in the right place. Amen. I know that this was a covenant specifically. This was something for Abraham. But you know what? It speaks to us too. And it tells us of the character, the fidelity. It speaks of the covenant of God, how he stands on his word. Amen. And God is has no favoritism. God has no partiality. God does not favor. Amen. The only thing that God is moved by is by our faith and our obedience. Amen. If we obey him, if we move in faith, amen, guess what? That pleases the heart of God. And after all, the Bible said that Abraham pleased God. He was called a friend of God. Now think about this. Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham made a lot of mistakes. Y'all can look it up later, amen. But nevertheless, God still honored him and blessed him. You think about David. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He did all sorts of things. He lied. But you know what? He repented. He humbled himself. He acknowledged his sin. And he realized and acknowledged that Jesus is, that the Lord is God. Amen. Amen? So what am I saying here? None of us here are perfect. None of us here live sinless lives, whether, you know, nobody has to raise a hand, but, you know, whether it's a thought or whether it's something you did or whether, whatever, we all need to be washed daily. We're clean, amen, but we need to ask God to examine our hearts daily. Amen. Cleanse us, amen. Don't let anything contaminate your spirit. Don't let anyone dump their trash off in your spirit. Amen? Because you have people, amen, they all they do is ride around with their truckloads of garbage. And they want to drop it off on you. And you know what many of us do? We go and we collect it. And we keep it here. And guess what happens? You know, it stinks. It begins to affect you. It begins to affect your relationship. It begins to affect your attitude. It begins to affect your worship. You say, what's going on? Well, you need to say, you know what? I need to take out the trash. I can't afford to let anything hinder my relationship with Christ. I can't let unforgiveness. I can't let bitterness. Even if they treat you wrong, amen, give it to God. God will deal with it. Pray for them. Amen. God will open their eyes. Amen. But God will bless you. Amen. Don't let anything contaminate your spirit because it will fester. And guess what? It will multiply. Bacteria multiplies. And the next thing you know, you'll be consumed with that garbage. So you and I have to release it. This is how we know those who are really born again. Because apart from the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. Unless you have the Spirit of God abiding on the inside of you, you have got to say, Lord, you know what? I can't afford to keep this. Lord, it hurts. Lord, it's disappointing. But Lord, I choose to release it. I choose to not allow this garbage to stay in my life. Amen? Amen? So we've got to say, you know what? I am not going to allow this thing to fester. Amen? And I'm not going to allow it to contaminate my worship. So I've got to move forward. So he says to him, so let's move forward. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. Amen. Now, in verse 22, go down to chapter Genesis 22 real quick. Amen. Just a little bit of reading. Bear with me. Genesis 22. Throughout all of that process, amen, many things happen, amen, situation with Lot and different things, but one of the major tests that Abraham faced was when God told him to offer up his son. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now you got to remember, Isaac wasn't no little boy. Amen? That he was either in his late 20s or somewhere along that line. He wasn't, because he could have overpowered and he could have resisted. But he submitted to his father. He saw his relationship with his father and his God. And he trusted the God that was in his father, Abraham. And he believed what his father said, and he trusted him. But nevertheless, it said here, verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. He said, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. There's so much here, amen, to preach on. But listen to this. He was willing to come down with the blade. But the angel cried out, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch him. Now I know. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me say this. There are things, maybe people, and I'm not talking literally going trying to hurt anybody, but there may be circumstances or situations that God is telling you to lay down. Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to believe God? God is saying, I want you to lay this thing down, whatever it is, I want you to give it to me, and I want you to trust me. But many times we hold on to it, because the very thing that God is telling us to lay down, we don't want to sacrifice. Because of his association, because of his friendship, because of its affiliation, because of its connection. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because of what people may think. Because my family may not understand. Because my boss may not understand. Whatever it is that God is telling you, you need to lay down at the altar. Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to believe God? And it's in that trusting. It's in that believing. It's in that obedience. It's in that commitment of your faith and your relationship with God. It's in all of those things that God sees. Amen. That we truly put him first. We say that he is Lord, but guess what? Now it's testing time. We say we love Jesus, but now it's testing time. We say we believe the word, but now it's testing time. What are you going to do when you're called to the carpet? What are you going to do when God says, lay down your Isaac? What are you going to do when God says, I need you to believe me? What are you going to do when God said, I need to lead you to leave everything that's closest to you? What are you going to do when God says, I want you to do something that even yourself may not understand? As I get back to my opening, it's all about a setup for a promotion. It's all about God getting ready to do something so great and so grand and so spectacular that God has to get you and make sure that you're in the right place. Oh, not for him. He knows where you are already, but that you're at the place that when the blessings happen, you won't implode. That when the blessings happen, your head won't get expanded. You won't get lifted up in pride. You won't say, look at me, look what I've done. You won't say, I've done this. But you'll be able to say, I gave it to Jesus. He is the one that did it. He is the one that fixed it. He is the one that healed me. He is the one that made provision. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah Nisi. He is the one that did all of this. I give him the glory. I give him the honor. I give him the praise. It wasn't me. It's the God inside of me. Hallelujah. Do I have any men and women who are willing to believe God? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. You may have, and I'm speaking to somebody, hallelujah, if not even to myself, that even God is saying it might be your literal loved ones. It might be a son or daughter that may be on crack. It might be a family member that's out on the street selling their body. It may be somebody, but God is saying you got to lay them down and you got to give them to me. You got to trust me. They were my
mine before they were yours. You got to lay them down at the altar. And guess what? Because you laid them down in faith, because you reckoned that they were dead, because you turned them over to me, God said, I'm going to do something so miraculous. I'm going to do something that's so great. I'm going to provide a way of escape. I'm going to provide the scapegoat. I'm going to provide everything you need, all because you learned to walk by faith and not by sight. You learned to decree and declare and speak those things that are not as though they were. You know what it is now to walk by faith and not by sight. You know what it is to trust me even when you look and you don't see it. You learn to believe me even though people say it can't be done, but you don't listen to them because you separated yourself from all the negative voices. You separated yourself from all the naysayers, and you said, I believe God. God's got me in a place where I've learned to hear his voice. I've learned to walk in obedience. I've learned to trust him. I've learned to depend on him. I've learned to lean on him. And I only take my orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I hear the Spirit of God say, your finances, you've been frustrated. I'm speaking to somebody now. You've been frustrated. Hallelujah. You've been saying, God, I'm just barely making it. God, I can't get a breakthrough. God, it seemed like we just can't make the ends meet. But I'm here to let you know that God will provide. I'm here to let you know that David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. I'm trusting in the word of God. I don't know where to change is coming from. I don't know where the money is coming from. I don't know where the food is coming from. But I believe God that if God said it, then I stand on his word. If God told me to lay it down, to trust him, to lean not to my own understanding, but he said, in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct thy path, saith the Lord. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, all because of your faith, all because of your obedience, all because of your commitment, because you dared to believe my word, because you dared to trust me, because you dared to believe what I said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. God will cause you to lift up your eyes. Sometimes when you're in circumstance, your eyes may be cast down. You may be fixated at one point, but God will cause you to lift up your eyes. He said, look up unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, who made both the heavens and the earth. Look up and trust in the Lord. Look up. Don't be despondent. Look up. Don't be discouraged. Look up. Don't be depressed. Look up. I'm going to show up. Look up. I'm going to provide a lamb. Look up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold. See, there it is. And behold, God will provide. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Now there's many people who can say amen. The ram might have been there the whole time, but it wasn't until God said, look up. That's a whole nother message. Sometimes your answer, your breakthrough, your deliverance is closer than you think. Look to your neighbor and say, don't panic. The answer is already right there. You say, well, I need to hear some good news from the lawyer. I'm purchasing a house and my credit isn't good, but I'm here to let you know you've got to walk by faith. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, the Bible said, he turneth it. Who's the he? Jehovah God. He turneth the hearts. He turneth the mind. When they want to say no, something happens, takes possession of his mouth. And he said, I want to say no. Every good thing in me and everything that I see on paper says I shouldn't approve this loan. Everything that I see based on their credit history says they're a high risk. Everything that I'm seeing on paper said, I don't know if we're going to get our money back. Everything on paper said, don't do it. But I don't understand. There's something on the inside of me that compels me to say yes. I don't understand why I'm going to say yes. But what he doesn't understand and what she doesn't understand, that if God has already promised a blessing, if God has already spoken the blessing, if God has already decreed the blessing, it no matter what might have happened in the past, it doesn't matter the mistakes that you might have made. See, the world is always trying to bring in what you did in the past, but God said, I behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. I'll even give you favor on your credit. Even when the man said no, God said, I say yes. All the silver and the gold, it belongs to me. And it's not because you're so good. It's not because you're so special. It's not because you look so great. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the blessing of God. The truth of the matter is, we in ourselves don't deserve it. But I've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been made whole through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not me, but it's God in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Everything that you need, God has it. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you could ask or think, according to his not my power, not your spirit, hallelujah, not your goodness, right, not your education, all, and he uses, that's all great, that's all good. But guess what? He can give you favor and open up resources, open doors. But it gets back to, thank you, Holy Ghost, God is saying, but can I trust you? Amen. Amen. See, I don't mind God is saying doing this for you, but can I trust you? Amen. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to believe my word? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I shall be filled. The question is, are we hungry for the things of God? Gets back to that commitment. Is God first in our lives? Do we just do all of this just to say, I came to church? Or do we come to hear the word, to break bread, to fellowship, to say, God, I want to be more like you. Amen. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, change me. Do a work in me. In closing, he that hath begun a good work in you, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it. We'll see that the assignment is done. Hallelujah.
will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what does that say? That when God takes on us, when he calls us his sons and daughters, he is not going to leave us. If there's anybody leaving anybody, it's us leaving him. He will never leave us. Never forsake us. Never abandon us. And here's the beauty thing about it. Even in our stupidity, even if we can just call it like it is, amen? Even when we do dumb stuff, grace and mercy. It doesn't give us a license to sin, and that's not what it's for. But he's simply there that if I should stumble, if I should make a mistake, the grace of God is available. That I can cry out, Abba Father. That I can go to God and confess my sins. And I know that he is faithful and just to forgive me for all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Everyone standing. There's a lot we can learn when we think about the life.